Okay, well, I was at camp. And I was camp pastor. And what that means is that I'm there to help the staff, the counselors, deal with their issues. When they have an issue with a camper, they bring that camper and that issue to me. If they have an issue with between themselves or maybe something's going on in their lives. We had one set of brother and sister who are on staff. One is a lifeguard. One is the administrative secretary at camp. Their uncle died unexpectedly this week. We had other things going on, just stresses. They go for 12 weeks of camp. And you say, 12 weeks of camp? Oh, you just lay around. Well, that's what other people do at camp. That's not what the camp staff does at camp. They're running constantly. And they're responsible for new kids every week. I mean, these counselors, they get 10 kids in their cabin. And a lot of times, none of these kids know each other, and they don't know the campers. Sometimes you know somebody from a year before or something, but or there's sometimes it's even a problem because some know each other, and these couple over here know each other, but they don't know anybody else, so they don't talk to the others. So the counselor has to kind of bring everybody together as a group, as a family for the week. And it's stressful, but it is wonderful because we had a great time at camp. Our camp verse this year for the summer is on the cover of your bulletin. Through the Holy Spirit, we have this on here because it spoke to Phyllis and she told her to put this on there. So that's what she did. Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Camp took that and went with way out west as their theme. But that was their verse. So where's our sin? Where are our sins? Way out west. Just way out. They went with kind of a western theme. It was fun. And there were at least 30 kids who recommitted or made first-time commitments to Christ at camp this year, this week. That's an awesome number. Gabe Norton, who was the speaker last year for this camp, this is the same week that I went last year, same week he went this year. So we were together again, and that's kind of cool. His dad is a friend of mine. Gabe is now a youth pastor down in Apple Valley. You know, it's getting bad when your friend's kids are in the ministry. Now I'm old. Gee, looks... What? Yeah. Now you feel old. And he's really good, too. He's got three kids. Don't mind us. Just we're talking about a friend. This is the ministry. But we had a great time at camp. Gabe's a wonderful speaker. He's one of those guys that has a plastic face. You know what I'm talking about? Kind of. And he's got more than one face. You know, I got one. It's like this. And you know, I'm sorry. But you know, he's got the voices down, and he does some voices which are, you know, the deep commanding thing, and then he's got the hey, how you doing? And he does like a surfer dude. Okay, so I don't do the same voice as well. We understand this, but he does, and the kids love him, and they hear what he's got to say. Sometimes you wonder about it. You see the kids, you know, they're talking, poking, and whatnot. But yet, when it comes time, when they go back to the cabin talk, they got deep questions. When they... We had seven girls who, at one point, said, we want to get baptized this week. Now, we ended up not baptizing anybody because we couldn't get a hold of anybody's parents to get permission. The camp doesn't want to baptize without getting parental permission because sometimes parents want to be there or there might be issues. They're not all from Alliance churches, so we don't want to step on toes. But we sat down and had one-on-one conversations, Gabe and I did with these girls and talked through. Most of them decided that they really wanted to go back to their home church to get baptized, which was what we were really wanted to encourage, because there people would know them and be able to enter into the celebration. That would be where they could stand up before people who are going to see them every day and say, hey, I'm a Christian. So I want you to know, camp ministry is alive and well in Big Sandy. And we had 180 kids registered, and we ended up with 188 campers. We had 8 extra kids show up that weren't pre-registered. They just showed up. One kid showed up on Sunday. Registration is on Monday. Mom left them. One of the counselors got to work extra hours. And they got a big thank you from the camp director for that. But, yeah, here's my kid. Bye. But again, it was an awesome week. It's a tiring week. Staff meeting is at 7:30. Actually, 7:28 is when it's scheduled. And I would give devotion. And breakfast is at 8 o'clock. And then cabin cleanup, 9 o'clock, cabin. And chapel at 9:30. Then they'd have some elective at 10:30. From 10:30 to 12, they would do activities. 12 o'clock, they would have lunch. 1 o'clock, done with lunch and clean up there and get their mail. If they get mail, they get a package, or if they get 3 letters, they have to sing. They have them all come together and sing together, so it's not just one person. And 1:15 to 2:15 is the most blessed time of the day. It's toes-up time for the campers. And they're all taken into the old chapel, and they turn on a movie, and they put a couple of staff at the doors to block them in. And all the rest of the staff get to go lay down in their bunks or just sit in quiet for 1 hour. And then at 2:15, they have the day's activity, whether it be water wars and camp picnic or carnival or whatever. They do different stuff every day. And then 3:30, waterfront opens, and they got free time till 5 o'clock. 5:15, they're serving dinner. And 6:15, they got activities again. 7:15, they're back to chapel. 8:30, they go to the cabins for cabin talks. 9 o'clock, you have some outrageous activity. They're running around in the dark yelling and screaming of some sort. And then at 10:15, they got flush and brush. 10:30, lights out. 10:30, I walk the grounds, make sure everybody's back in their rooms. And I'm back to my cabin at 11 o'clock, where I then spend the next 2 hours working on my devotion for the next morning. Up at 6:30, rinse and repeat. That's the day. It's fun, it's good, but it's tiring. So please be in prayer for those people who are working up there at Big Sandy Camp. There are volunteers that go up for a week or a day or even a couple of weeks over the summer, but most of them up there are the counselors, and a lot of the staff are paid staff, and they're there for the whole summer. They don't get a princely salary. It's only like a couple hundred bucks a week. Considering the number of hours that they put in, campers arrive at 9:30 on Monday. They're out of there at 11 o'clock on Saturday. And they're with those kids all day, every day, except for toes-up time in between. Then after they leave, they got to clean up the camp after them and get ready for the next one. So they need your prayers. But there's wonderful things going on there, and that's just kind of a report I wanted to share. In the middle of this week, I got to go do Deanna and Reese's wedding, which is kind of exciting. I did one of those deals where you get in the car and you did MapQuest and you find out it's the wrong address that you looked up. Like, oh well. I'm calling Reese saying, I'm here, how do I get there? And he gives me good directions and I get there and there's road construction. The road's closed. But I did make it to the wedding on time. They got married. Reese said I'd do a little early, but that's okay. We graced them. And I made it back to camp in time to do lights out. So it was a full week. And it was a fun week. And as I said, one full of blessing. We had over 30 kids that made commitments for Christ. And that's just, that's got to get you pumped. Okay. We're going to turn to Hebrews and we're going to do first part of chapter 10 this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, starting with the first verse. It says, the law is only a shadow of good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly over and over the year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. Please check that again. It says, for this reason, it can never, then jump down, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshipers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sin because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me with burnt offerings and sin offerings. You were not pleased when I... Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. First he said, sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required that to be made. Then he said, here I am. I have come to do your will. He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Christ, Jesus Christ, once for all. Remember, holy is set apart for God. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest has offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. That is, who are being set aside for God. The Holy Spirit also testifies to us about this. For he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their heart, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we come before you this morning. We ask that you would open our hearts and minds to it. Lord, that this word wouldn't just go in one ear and out the other, but that it would find its place in our minds, Lord, and be in our hearts and be lived out in our hands and our very lives. Lord, might your word be alive and true to us. We ask that this morning you would show each of us what it is you have for us. That encouragement, that point of discipline, that direction you would have us to go, Lord. Whatever it is you have for us this morning, we pray that you would show it to us and that we would receive it with thankfulness from a loving God. Lord, I pray that as I preach this morning, your anointing would be upon me and that I would speak in truth and in power according to the guidance and direction of your Holy Spirit. And that nothing I say would take away or add to, but would just make clear your word. Lord, bless us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I titled this week, Graffiti. Who can tell me what graffiti is? Missy. That's what we think of it as here, and what we see it today. We think of graffiti as destructing property by writing stuff on, drawing pictures and whatnot. But the word graffiti is actually a Greek word, which means comes from a Greek word, Greek root, meaning writing. And that's what it is. You know, it's somebody, we call it tagging and doing things. So we think of it as a bad way. But I want you to think about it in a good way today. God has tagged your mind. When God tags you, that means... Why do gay... You're it. God do one in every crowd. I got a whole room of them. Just push me off those tracks. That's okay. Why do gangs tag or put graffiti on places? To show their ownership. Say, this is our turf. This is our place. Why? Because they're basically copycats. God did it first. To show his ownership, he writes upon our minds and our hearts his law. He seals us with the Holy Spirit. It's like a brand. It's like somebody took a big old branding iron. Actually, what they used was wax and, you know, a little thing. But, you know, hot wax in your forehead there. It's not quite the same as the branding iron, though. But anyhow, you're sealed. And you're God. God's marked you to show ownership. And he marks upon our minds and our hearts his word. You say, but Pastor, it says here that, you know, he puts it in our heart and he writes it on our minds. Well, he also writes it on our hearts too. Got to remember, who is the writer of Hebrews talking to? Hebrews. People who know the law, know the word. And they'd recognize that he's quoting from Jeremiah. He's changed a couple of words here and there. But he's quoting Jeremiah 31. Let's look at Jeremiah 31:34. You're going to be there quicker because I didn't mark mine. Jeremiah's before Ezekiel, right?
Don't you just love it when it cooperates? There we go.
The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. Remember, new covenant that we're talking about? With the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. That's the law. Because they broke my covenant, though I was a husband to them, declares the Lord, this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. After that time, declares the Lord, I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. Well, is the writer of Hebrews confused? I mean, he's got it backwards. Well, no, in Hebrews 8, verses 8 through 12, he says it exactly the same way that it's here in Jeremiah. What he's pointing out is that it's put there. It's put in. It's a physical thing. It's not just writing. And the word is there in our hearts and our minds. It's in like indelible markers that raises up, like embossing. Donna knows all about embossing. Ask her about it. You know, it's embossed on our brain. It's embossed on your heart. Who here knows what embossing is? Got like three. Okay. It's like a raised... You see a seal? Have you seen a... You get an official document that's... It's got like raised up lettering. That's embossed. It's all like Braille, kind of. So God has put it there in our hearts. And this new covenant. It's the new covenant. And this, the writer of Hebrews, he's been driving this home about the new covenant. Jesus is, you know, once for all. You know, the sins are clean, are forgiven because of the one sacrifice for all time. The sacrifice of Jesus. And this isn't the first time we've had this. This is at least the third or fourth week now that we're dealing with the same topic as the writer talks about it and lays it out. Why does he spend so much time here laying this out, making it clear? Because remember, he's speaking to Hebrews and he's pointing out that the first covenant was never intended to be forever. That God has always said the second covenant's coming. That we have the prophets saying, Jeremiah, second covenant's coming, this is what it's going to look like. And here it is. It's here. The new covenant. And we're going to find it written on our hearts and our minds. Minds and hearts. I did pass biology. Jesus is telling us, he first reminds us that first it was written about him in the scroll. When he says written about him in the scroll, he's talking about the Old Testament. What we call the Old Testament. He didn't call it the Old Testament. It was God's Word. It was the scroll. Because they didn't have bound books like this. It was a book. It was a scroll. Scroll, book, synonyms. Bible just means book. We just happen to say, oh, Greek for book. It's the book. But it was first written about Jesus, and he said, here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God. What is it that he came to do? To be the sacrifice. To end the first covenant and begin the second covenant. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. 2 Corinthians. I didn't tell you guys about these ones, but 2 Corinthians 3, 6 through 18 talks about the new covenant. You guys are going to get there faster than I am. Corinthians 3, 6 through 18. It says, He has made for us a covenant. He has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Now, if the ministry that brought death, which was engraved in letters on stone, came with glory, so that the Israelites could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of its glory fading through, though it was, will not the ministry of the Spirit, which God embosses, which God writes, which God graffitis on our hearts and our minds, not the ministry of the Spirit be even more glorious? If the ministry that condemns men is glorious, how much more glorious is the ministry that brings righteousness? For what was righteous, for what was glorious has no glory now in comparison with the surpassing glory. And if what was fading away came with glory, how much greater is the glory of that which lasts? Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold. We are not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face to keep the Israelites from gazing at it while the radiance was fading away, but their minds were made dull. For to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. You see here, I was talking about the word engraved into the stone tablets. Now we have that word engraved, written, embossed, graffitied on our hearts and our minds. The first law, first covenant, was almost a veil. It speaks of it as a veil there. But through Christ that is removed, and now the law can shine through. The law that's written on our hearts and our minds. I can't do the hand motions when we sing either, you know. And this new covenant, this is what Jesus is bringing to us. Once for all, sin's been forgiven. And in that process, he's going to write His law on our hearts. See, I got the hand right position the same. Hearts and minds. Because His sacrifice has made that possible. What does that mean? It's the Holy Spirit living in us. It's not that we don't need to know God's Word. It's God's Word comes to live and reside within us. Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word became flesh, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. I think I got that right. It's something like that. Yeah, I'm a good pastor. Pastor, yeah, that's good. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and He was with God in the beginning. Okay. Make sure I got that straight. And the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only, the one who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's the Word. He's written the Word on our minds and our hearts. He's placed it in there. What's the Word? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, God. The law that He wants us to do comes from Him. See, it wasn't the sacrifices that He wants, He said. The sacrifices and the offerings you did not desire. It really wasn't what He desired. What He desired was hearts and minds given over to Him. It's always been God's desire to have our hearts and our minds. What is the one standout thing about praise of David? He was a man after God's own heart. Did he mess up as bad as it's possible to mess up? This man did. But yet he was a man after God's own heart. God wants us to live in the truth of having Him in our hearts and in our minds. Now, if you actually have the Word of God in your mind and in your heart and written there indelibly so that it shows through, okay, what's in you does come out. If you sit down and you watch a 24-hour Dukes of Hazzard marathon on TV, you're going to try to slide across the hood of your car and you're going to try to jump in without opening the door. And you're going to, whee! And you're going to crash your car. Why? Because what you took in and what's in you comes out somehow. You know, if you only get a little bit, you just go, woo-wee. And, you know, maybe talk with a southern drawl or something. I don't know. You know, Rick does better than I do. But what's in there? It's going to come out. So what's in there? Is God's Word really in there? Or are you in there with anti-graffiti stuff trying to get rid of God's writing in your heart and your mind? Are you trying to battle against His will with yours? You know, nowadays we do very much attempt to paint as quickly as possible whenever somebody tags the church. We do try to do that. Why? Because if we allow their tag to be on here, that says that this is their turf, this is their place. Don't try to remove God's tag if you really want to be God's. Don't try to cover it up. Don't try to hide it. Put it out there for all to see. God's Word on your heart. And on your mind, it's going to live out in your actions if it's really there. Say, but I'm not seeing it. Well, then maybe you need to check on whether you got stuff in the way. Whether you've... What's that paint that you use to cover up graffiti? What? Prime? No, they got a... Kills, that's the stuff. Kills. That's even biblical. You know, I like that. Okay, are we going to kills God's Word? Or are we going to buff it up and shine it up and make it look bright? Okay. Can only take an illustration so far before it really goes in. This morning, I talked about God writing on your hearts. And on your minds, His law. Put it there. And He concludes by saying, their sins and their lawless acts I will remember
I will remember no more. And when there have been, where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Sin's not, the sacrifice is no longer needed. Christ paid the penalty. It's done. Let's pray. Father God, we do come before you this morning and give you praise. Lord, we thank you that you have done the work, that you came and took that body and were our perfect sacrifice, so that once for all sin could be forgiven, and that your will could then be written upon our hearts and our minds. Lord, we're yours. Might we live as such. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.